The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
It is the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live, and I'm absolutely delighted to invite you to join us for the rest of the program. We're here until 6. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Continuing with some updates. By the way, if you were not listening earlier, it is the National Day of Prayer. It's unlike any National Day of Prayer that we have had probably any time in our lifetime. But that does not mean it is less important. Even though we're not having big meetings down at the State House and individual churches, it is even more important this year that we pray. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. And whether you like or hate Mike DeWine, whether you love or hate Dr. Amy Acton, pray for them. The decisions that they're making impact all of us. Pray for them. Donald Trump, hate him, love him. Pray for him. Vice President Pence, those that are dealing on the national level with the COVID-19 crisis, pray for them. Spend time in prayer. All right, now some updates. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is home from the hospital. She was discharged last evening from a Baltimore hospital. The Supreme Court says she is doing just fine. She spent one night at Johns Hopkins Hospital being treated for an infection caused by a gallstone. The hospital says that she will return to the hospital for outpatient visits over the next few weeks and will eventually have the gallstone removed, but it will not require surgery. Okay. So anyway, she is out of the hospital and was doing work, Supreme Court work, from her hospital bed. She's 87 years old, and I can't stand her political views. Can't stand her political views. But you got to admire her her physical strength, and she's 87, and in that sense she is remarkable. Anyway, she is home from the hospital. Then I brought this story to you a few days ago, the story about Mayor Quentin Lucas, the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. And he shocked his community just recently when he said, okay, we're going to start opening up the economy, and we're going to allow, this is just kills me, we're going to allow some churches to begin meeting. Excuse me? That's not up to a mayor to give churches permission to meet. That's a constitutional right. We don't look to mayors for permission when we meet, how we meet, how many people are. No. But anyway, he announced this 10-10-10 rule. 10% of the capacity of the building, no more than 10 people at a time. And what was the other 10? 10% of capacity, 10 people at a time, and no more than 10 minutes. All right, anyway, that's the 10-10-10 plan. Then he said to churches specifically, okay, You can meet with 10% of your capacity. So if your building holds 250, you can have 25 people. Well, wasn't that gracious of him? But then he said, anybody that comes into your building, you got to take their name, their contact information. You must write down when they entered the building, and you must write down when they leave the building. We don't do that in America. The government does not keep track of who visits. No, they do that in communist China. They have done that in Russia. They have done that in Cuba. They've done that in other communist countries. But no, we don't do that in America. Well, the mayor of Kansas City said, oh, yes, we do. And then there was a huge amount of backlash from that. And he says, oh, well, well, we won't ever ask you to turn over those records unless there's an emergency. Excuse me? We're in the middle of an emergency. Well, there was even greater pushback, and it was fierce all the way up to Attorney General Bill Barr. And the mayor of Kansas City has now amended his rule, and he is saying, we just suggest it. We just suggest it. Well, he knew he was going to be taken to court, and I think he knew that he would lose big time. So the mayor of Kansas City has amended his rule and said, okay, churches don't have to keep track of everybody who attends and what time they walked in and out of the building, but we suggest that you do anyway. No pastor in his right mind would do that. And then this update, here's the headline. Governor Mike DeWine announces $775 million in budget cuts as revenue in the state crashes. All right, now, there are going to be a lot of people upset about this. A lot of people upset. I am pleased that Governor DeWine is taking this direction. All right, now, we can debate all day long. Did we go too far in the shutdown? Did we go too far in the quarantine? And that's worthy of debate, and it should be debated, and it's going to be debated for a long time. But the fact is, we did do the shutdown. We did do the quarantine. There are a million people out of work in the state of Ohio. And that means reduction in taxes. That means a reduction in income to the state. It means a budget shortfall. And the state of Ohio, unlike the federal government, has a balanced budget amendment. In other words, every year, the state of Ohio must, by constitutional law, balance the budget. Now, if Mike DeWine was a liberal Democratic governor, let me tell you what he would do. He would whine and cry and say the federal government has to bail us out. If he was a liberal Democrat, that's exactly what he would do. Whine, complain, federal government's got to bail us out. And of course, right now, if he was a liberal Democrat, he would complain about Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't care about us. Donald Trump wants us all to die. The federal government needs to bail us out or we're going to go broke. But Donald Trump would rather see people in Ohio die. Well, instead, Mike DeWine is doing the fiscally responsible thing. He's not asking for a bailout. He's not whining. He's not complaining. He is saying, hey, we got a shortfall. It is real. It's not imaginary. And we got to make cuts. That's what fiscally responsible people do. Now, some of the big cuts that people are screaming, yelling, shouting about are in education. All right? And write this down. We are going to see tax levies like crazy coming up in the very near future for schools. tax levy, we need more money, we got to have more money, the state cut our budget. Have you thought about this? School has not been in session now for several weeks, which means buildings have been sitting empty, which means utilities have been dropped dramatically. Custodial services have been dropped dramatically. Buses have not been running except to deliver some meals, but the overwhelming majority of school buses in the state of Ohio have been sitting silent still. All of that fuel, drivers, here's what I'm saying. Because school has not been in session, I would think that school districts have saved millions and millions of dollars that they have not had to spend. Now, they provided online training and so forth, but obviously online training is not nearly as expensive as running air conditioners, heat, lights in the buildings. I just wonder how many school districts across the state of Ohio are going to come forward and say, you know, these budget cuts from this state are tough, but we've been very wise and frugal, and we have saved a lot of money in the last several weeks. And so this fall, we think we'll be fine. We may have to make some cuts. We may have to rearrange our budget, but I think we'll be fine. Don't hold your breath. The teachers' unions are going to go crazy over these budget cuts. Mark my words. Teachers' unions are going to go insane. And watch for the tax levies. Yeah. It's hard times, but I think the governor has done exactly what he needs to do.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
I think we can all be grateful that Ohio is beginning to open up as quickly as many of us want. Yeah, probably not, but we are beginning to open up, and there has been good news, and we can be very thankful that we don't live in Illinois. I read this today, and I thought, no, this cannot be true. The governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, he is a Democrat, has extended his executive orders concerning churches, and he has made it absolutely clear that he will extend the limit of people gathering in churches to no more than 50. Now, this could be a mega church of 3,000. They can only have 50. Now they got, if they're a country church of 30, well, this is probably good news. But churches will not be able to have in excess of 50 attendees until, you ready for this? There is a vaccine or a highly effective treatment or elimination, I'm quoting, elimination of any new cases over a sustained period. Now, no one reasonably believes that we will have a vaccine for probably a year. I know the president said maybe this coming January, and, you know, every few days it's, they're going to have a vaccine in 2 weeks, and there's most experts believe we're not going to have a vaccine. And by the way, even when we get a vaccine, we have no idea how effective it will be. even the vaccines that have been around for 10, 20 years, there are questions about their effectiveness. But according to the governor of Illinois, it could be over a year before churches will be able to have more than 50 people in attendance because churches are non-essential. He has rolled out a 7-point. Here in Ohio, I think we have a 4-point. And churches are way down the line. Way down the line. Isn't that amazing? There are going to be constitutional issues in Illinois. Bank on that. That's going to go to court. And then, since we're talking about that, I've got a weird story about Michelle Obama. But here's an update from California. A federal judge this week ruled that California Governor Gavin Newsom had the right to ban churches from assembling at all. We're not talking 10 people or less, 50 people or less, nobody. A church in Lodi, California, took it to court, and a federal judge has ruled in favor of the state of California. This is a quote from the judgment from District Judge John A. Menendez. Quote, "This court finds the state and county stay-at-home orders being challenged here bear a real and substantial relation to public health." He said that the church's argument that their churches are, and this was part of the court case, much safer than shopping at Costco, Walmart, or Home Depot is, quote, unpersuasive. Unpersuasive. The judge noted that the church failed to produce any evidence that their in-person gatherings pose little threat of increasing COVID-19 spread. I'm not a judge, not an attorney, don't pretend to be one, but that's not the point. The point is it constitutional for a governor to shut down religious gatherings totally, completely? I believe the answer to that is no. They don't have the constitutional right, but a federal judge in California has ruled in favor of the state of California, giving them power to continue the complete shutdown of churches in the state of California. And again, we're not talking, you know, less than 50, less than 10, total shutdown. So you go to Walmart, you go to Costco, you go to your grocery store, you go to the liquor store, but you can't go to church. You can be in a Walmart with 600 or 700 people, but you cannot be in a church of even 10, according to a federal judge in California. That one's going to go to higher courts as well. And I think we can be very, very thankful that Bill Barr is our attorney general. I don't think he's going to stand for this, not this Justice Department. We'll watch. We'll watch.